I'm Team Samantha for sure.
I love that this is how the podcast is going to begin, because we're going to keep all this in.
They did Samantha wrong. Recording.
Yeah,
they did it wrong.
We've been recording all this. It's fantastic.
Fucking Europe. She went to Europe. She wouldn't do that. Samantha wouldn't do them like that. They did her like that.
Right. Well, I'm keeping all this in and doubling it for the podcast. So welcome back to the Suck Podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I am your host, Dave.
And with us always is producer Joe.
I'm not the producer.
Uncle Joe.
All right. Well, this, of course, is a podcast where we talk about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX, user experience design, impacts us every day. We are lovers, not experts.
Lovers.
We started this podcast as a way to talk about why things were made the way that they are and where those design decisions might have gone a little off the rails. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Doing well. I would like to point out that we are experts, Brad. I think it's a little bit of an undersell at being users. We are old men.
we've been using things for a long time.
We've been using lots of things for lots of time. So I would just like to point that out.
So you're a user. Got it.
Yeah. Professional user.
Of many illicit substances.
I'm a user. Yeah. Okay. User of all the things.
Well, so, let's jump right into the news. Dave asked you. Keanu Reeves thing?
Keanu Reeves. I mean, I love how I'm the expert of the Keanu Reeves things just because I watched the video with Keanu Reeves. The laugh heard, the giggle. It's a giggle, actually. We could play it here.
Well, but they're not the same, right?
The giggle heard around the world is Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss being interviewed by, we should probably know this, Time, Rolling Stone, somebody, not us. And the topic of, obviously it's about The Matrix. And Brad, you watched it, right? Or
No. I am on full media blackout. And Dave, you told me that there's no spoilers in this interview.
Yeah.
Still, I don't want to know anything. I don't even want to know.
Oh, wow. You just don't want to. Because there could be something that I don't consider a spoiler that you do.
Totally.
Got it. Okay.
Full blackout.
But I did hear, the gist of the story was that, someone asked Keanu Reeves about NFTs and what his thoughts are, right?
That is right. And his reaction was, and we could play it again.
Well, but they're not the same. Right?
That's pretty much it. I mean, that's pretty much all he says about it. Now, Joe, you bought a couple NFTs, right? What are NFTs, Joe?
They're non-fungible tokens.
Fungible. Is that something that happens to broccoli after it sits for a long time?
Yeah. I think it just means changeable, basically.
It's such a fun word.
It's a way of confirming that a digital piece of artwork or music or through a blockchain is authentic. It's the original.
Sorry. I just love that word.
It's basically like getting a certificate of authenticity. I buy a jersey that's signed by Tom Brady, comes with a certificate of authenticity. Yeah. I could say like, this is actually signed and real and it came from this time and date. And that's basically what it is.
It's not the asset that it's the certificate. That's the NFT.
Right.
So the NFT is the actual, authentication proof of an actual asset. Now the actual asset is, sitting anywhere that is completely replicable. So it's only your proof that you have, quote unquote, the original, but that's of course semantics at best, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could also walk into the Louvre and take a picture of the Mona Lisa. It doesn't mean I have, technically, I don't think you can take a picture of the Mona Lisa, but you get the point that there are ways of replicating actual artwork.
Sure.
I'll tell you what I want, guys. I want fungible tokens. I'm going to start that market.
Just make a mess of the whole thing. You're just the Joker of.
Yeah. I want to watch the world burn. I want to watch the art burn. Make it all fungible.
And I mean, honestly,
fungible.
I think what's more critical, I think what's more of a criticism is not so much trying to authenticate the thing, but just the value that we're putting on the thing is, I think, where it's arbitrary. You know, I don't think Rainbow Cat is worth $5 million, but that's me, you know, like, or however much. Like,
okay. I think we should use Keanu's laugh through the entire episode. I'm just telling you, for our audio tech.
My favorite part about this whole segment, which I found interminable, was the fact that, you know, you kept alluding that we're going to drop in like this audio of Keanu. Yeah. And of course, we're not going to do that. So these listeners are just going to look here.
No, we are. Why would they? It's not...
Well, but they're not the same, right?
It's going in, man.
All right. Well, just to wrap the Keanu thing, it wasn't just NFTs, though. It was also the concept of the metaverse that he was like kind of like criticizing, like he doesn't want Facebook to be making our metaverse. So there was some relevance, of course, to the Matrix, which I'm sure prompted the question. But anyway, Keanu Reeves, not a fan of the metaverse, not a fan of NFTs.
Not a fan of the metaverse.
There you go.
I was going to say he's lived in the Matrix for 20 years, so I'd be creeped out as well.
Sure.
Indeed. Let's move over to Peloton. You know, that's a product that users love. I just had a friend today tell me, or not today because it's a Sunday, but last day I was at work, which is seems like today. It's all today, 2021-22. She told me, I finally jumped on the Peloton bandwagon and I am in love. All caps.
Sure.
All caps tweet. I am in love. And that's pretty much the experience that users across the board. I don't get it. I would rather be on a bike outside. I'd rather be at the gym lifting weight. I don't get the whole like, oh, hey, let's hang out with a virtual, you know, let's go in the metaverse, right, Keanu? So you know, let's talk about what happened with Peloton. Well, apparently, Sex in the City, has their new reboot spinoff. Yeah, it tanked the stock the first episode.
Spoiler alert here, because we're going to talk about some spoilers for the first episode of Sex in the City reboot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Ready? Which, this is your last chance.
Three straight white men. That makes perfect sense that we're doing this.
Old though, with you know, lady friends in our lives.
I actually
lives,
do so like the show. It's a good show.
It does. It was a good show. So listen, and I'm Team Samantha, by the way. They did her bad. So you know, skip ahead 15 seconds if you don't want to hear the spoiler. But and just like that, Big is dead.
Wait. He's dead? How did he die?
That's the spoiler. I'm sorry, but Big is dead. I mean, can you believe it? How could they kill Big in the first episode? I didn't see it. We actually stopped before then, my wife and I, because it was just not great. It was really sad. Yeah, no, it was like everybody's saying how old they are, commenting on how gray their hair was. And it was just like, okay, we get it. You say that joke once and move on. But it was just so boring and weird. And
does
then
any
I read,
of this have to do with Peloton?
It does. I open Twitter and I see that Peloton is trending. I'm like, what? Sex and City and Peloton are trending together. I'm like, how? And apparently he's Big as, you know, on the Peloton and fucking dies as a heart attack. And, you know, and, you know, what's her name? It's Carrie.
Carrie Bradshaw.
Runs to him for some reason in her wedding shoes that made everybody sob. I guess they were maybe she put them on for fun. They were, I don't know. And that he died on the Peloton and the stock, Brad, you tell me the stock dropped.
I think it dropped 10% specifically and only because of that, which of course it'll bounce back, but it's just really, really funny.
Which is a whole other episode. Yeah, a whole
impact
episode.
Of tens of millions of dollars.
Is the stock market. We should talk about the user experience of the stock market.
That's a whole episode. Right?
Because it's so emotional. I mean, think about this. What does a fictional character dying on a product have to do with that actual product? Now there are real implications, right? Like say I'm a 50 or actually I think he's like 60 something, a 60 something year old man. And I'm about to get one. I might be like, oh shit, I could have a heart attack.
Well, you just nailed it, David. It doesn't have anything to do with the actual character. It has to do with speculation.
Yes.
If people think that people are going to have that reaction, then they take their faith out of the stock and then it.
It's all emotional, man. It's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, so that's it. Sorry. Rest in peace, Big. I always like Aiden better.
I'm Team Aiden for sure.
You know, teammate. I hope
he's all wrong for Carrie, though. You know, we'll save this
because he's right.
Yeah.
Because he's a good guy.
Dave, let's save this for our Sex in the City watch along podcast, which, we're, of course, you listeners will know.
Brad,
that we're
you said you were going to
60. We're getting through it, but we'll
Brad, we were going to tell our new listeners about this. I, you know, it was a little embarrassing for me, but thanks, well, man.
Guys, let's take a quick break. Yeah, and then we're going to come back with our main story. David, you're probably really stressing right now about how you need to spend dozens and dozens of hours in the post office. Am I right?
I am. I got so much going on. I can't. I can't even get up in the morning sometimes.
David, did you know that you never have to go to the post office again?
What? Get out of here, Brad.
With Stan.
Hey. Sorry to interrupt our fake ad read. I thought it was going great. But if you're a real sponsor and like what you hear and want to contact our ad sales department, or if you're just a fan, visit OurPodSucks.com. That's OurPodSUX.com to find out more. And by our ad sales department, I of course mean Producer Joe. OurPodSucks.com. Now back to the fake ad read currently in progress.
Dozens of hours every day.
Every day.
From being in line. Dozens of hours. Every
dozens
day.
Dozens of hours.
Where they can offer you all the same services as the post office, but in your home. You can print and mail packages at rates that are even lower than you would get at the post office. Did you know about this?
Dear God, wow. I feel like this might put the post office and the whole postal industry, which is already under distress, out of business. And that would be a bad thing for America. But tell me about the code that our users can use.
Well, you know what? If the post office had better user experience, maybe they could have saved themselves. But stamps.com has done the dirty work.
This is turning into a thing. Yes.
So our listeners.
So what is the code?
Can use the code SUX sucks for 0% off and get a free scale.
0% off.
And we're back.
Woo!
And let's talk about our main topic this week. Do you guys know what it is?
Our main topic. Tell us, Brad, what do you got?
All right.
I'm excited.
So I set my my mother-in-law up with new cable at her new apartment. And this is Time Warner Cable, or I think they call it Spectrum. We all know what it is, right? We all know.
Spectrum owns everything.
So here's the thing. Okay.
Go ahead.
To date this episode, this is early 22. What year? What month is it? It's actually December. Let's be honest.
It's 2020-21-2. That's what I say.
To date this episode, we are about a week away from Christmas 2021. Time Warner, Spectrum, whatever you want to call it, they sent her the same cable box and the same setup that we've been getting for the past 20, 30 years. And the remote control specifically was so shockingly old-fashioned that they sent same remote control. You guys know the one I'm talking about. It's giant.
Yeah, can we see it? Odd shape. Do you have it?
Absolutely. So this is an audio podcast, so I'm sure our listeners will have to imagine it, but we'll put it up.
There's going to be a YouTube channel. There's going to be a YouTube channel. Are you recording?
But you guys know the one I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking
it's kind of like a dog bone with a ball at the top.
Yeah, it's got a million buttons.
It's got a million
buttons. Yeah, yeah. And you know the designer has put one button in there that does nothing. It's like in the elevator. Do you know that button to open and close to close it faster does not work? I read a whole article about this. And that could be a whole other episode. It is just for your psychological well-being.
Also, the walk button on most streets doesn't really do anything either, because obviously they're not going to change traffic. Yeah, because they're not going to change traffic patterns because you went across the street.
They may or may not have that white man flash up. Why is that?
That would be the only thing. Is sometimes it'll make the walk sign pop up when the light changes, but it doesn't change the light.
Brad,
it doesn't make the light change.
Back to you. I think
way to keep us on track there, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm coming back. I'm coming.
Okay.
You started it with the elevator button.
Yeah, but that makes sense. I'm trying to make the joke that there's got to be an elevator button on there that you push and it does nothing. There's no function on that remote. For that little square orange thing, does nothing.
So
tell us, Brad.
The user experience of simply having cable and the products and services that they provide is so egregiously bad, in my view, that it's worthy of.
I can't believe there's still a box. Why is there still a box? I mean, I guess we have Roku is a cable box essentially, right? And Chromecast is a cable box. I mean, it's much smaller and less complicated than the actual box. So, you know, my question is all right. So you talked about the user experience. I just want to point out to our users. That's what we should call our fans, our yes. users. Users. User Nation. Yes, User Nation. We are making a broader term. We're not just web design, app design, tech. We're also product design. So I like to take the full spectrum mm-hmm. of the user spectrum. And everything we do. You know what I mean? Even the human body, which we'll get to. I can't wait for that episode. You know, all of the things that you do and interact with your user. So the remote control is probably one of our first user yeah. experiences. Because I'm old enough to remember when it came out. Do you yes. guys... Have you guys always had a remote control that is not wired to the television? I'm old enough to remember a cord.
I had no idea that you were 76. You don't look a day over 60.
I am. Well, thank you, Brad. It's the it's all that stamps.com using. It so, keeps me stress-free.
Okay. So, okay. yeah, so, the remote is emblematic of the entire experience, right? It is the emblematic focal point of the entire awful experience of having cable television today. My first question for you guys is, do you have cable television?
What is cable television? I'm an early adopter. As old as I am, and we are, and our users should know this, we are very tech-minded, early adopters. Like we love this stuff. I had the Google Pixel when it first came out. I had, you know, chat before anybody had chat on college campuses. Like I was doing the thing. Mm. Right. And, you know, so cable, as soon as Netflix came out, mm-hmm. I was done with cable. I hated cable from the, what are we talking about? Early aughts? When did Netflix come out? And they had those little DVDs and whatnot, you know, sent in the mail in those red envelopes. Like early I was, aughts. Yeah, I was done before cutting the cord was even a term. Mm. I cut the cord. I haven't had cable. In fact, I now have come full circle and I stream my cable through my Roku. So the cable company got in on the streaming and they're like, hey, for $30, we'll give you HBO and all of these channels. And I'm like, okay, done.
All right. So Dave, you do have cable. So you got it through your internet service provider.
Okay, but I don't have cable proper. I have cable streamed.
So basically, you have a Hulu or Sling version that
Comcast
provides.
Yes.
Okay.
Something like that. And Joe, do you have cable?
Oh, yeah.
I do not. I have a Roku box with, you know, various and sundry Hulu and HBO and, you know, like a normal person.
And how long has that been, Joe? How long have you had?
Probably about 5-6 years now.
Yeah, it's a while, right?
Yeah. I was going to say it got to the point where, you know, I mean, really, it was a turning point where every year you'd call and renew your cable and negotiate a lower price. And even the lower price every year got to be a point where I'm like, why am I spending $200 for cable?
I mean, who's still getting cable? Because they're still in business, right?
I think like old people and sports and us, fans.
But we're old.
Old people sports, and super sports
absolutely
fans.
Sports fans.
Yeah. So there is still, I guess, an argument if you're a sports fan, which I'm not, with why you might need a specific cable package. Although I do understand, I might ask you this question, Joe. I do think that there's alternatives, but that it might not be a great alternative yet. Like, for example, with the Paramount Plus app, I think you can stream a bunch of some games, but not all.
Well, it depends on what sport, but I mean, if you have you can get, you know, ESPN on Hulu. If you have like Hulu Plus Live, you're going to get the full ESPN experience. I mean, I also have Sunday NFL Ticket because I don't know. I mean, there's probably something for basketball people and hockey people, but I'm a football guy. Sunday NFL Ticket, you know, it's just another app on my Roku and we're off to the races, which there's some problems with that too, like with licensing and stuff, but that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Sure. I feel like cable only exists for sports. I mean, you got to pay people pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to just watch a couple weeks of football.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's crazy.
It's incredible. So, that with everything. But
the problem
going
is,
on
I mean, well,
world,
if you're talking about sports, I mean, cable still doesn't even give you the benefit because you're still only going to get the games that are in your market. I mean, getting NFL Sunday Ticket gives you all the games in all the markets.
By the way, we should pause you right now, Jonas, because this is something you know a lot about.
Yeah.
And, this is we could get guests on for that episode. Yeah. There should be an episode about the sports packages and how, because I had a little experience with MLB.com as a Yankees fan on the West Coast. Sometimes it was impossible to get the game on the computer because back then you didn't watch them on the TVs. It was just a computer when I did it. So maybe it's changed over the years, but it's this whole blackout thing and everything. So we could talk all about that. In a, in
yeah.
So
and that's why I said it's just problems because of blackouts and licensing. But
the Super Bowl, let's make Super Bowl weekend.
Oh yeah.
The time that we talk, the time that we do user experience for all the sports packages.
Absolutely. Write that down. I will be mostly silent on that one, but I love it. It's a really good idea. Yeah. I like timing it to Super Bowl.
Well, you have a lot of time to start watching sports, Brad.
I'm giving you a heads up. I don't have cable, though, is the thing. Okay. So what's shocking about this is that these cable companies have not evolved. So if you are ordering cable, it's still the same experience, the same terrible experience that it has been basically since its inception. Looking at this remote, here's, guys, what I have in front of me. I have a screenshot of the actual remote that they shipped my mother-in-law. And again, you guys know what it looks like. The rest of you can imagine, right? We'll
throw it on our Twitter stream, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to just, from top to bottom, start to describe what I'm seeing here. And I imagine that this is going to sound ridiculous.
It's nuts.
Certainly intended to. Yeah. There's a power button.
Just describe it.
There's a power button. Okay, already we have a problem. There doesn't need to be a power button. You know, I would suggest that any button on this could be a power button. Anyway, going down from there, we have aux, DVD, VCR, TV, cable. Each of these are separate buttons. Okay? So they're trying to already be like, this is a universal remote that's going to do everything for you. And here's the problem with that. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, and people don't need it. Below that,
and it never will.
Guide. A button, menu, a button, info, each of those separate buttons. Now, I got to tell you, I don't really know the difference between guide and a menu. I think I do from a cable perspective, remembering what that was like. Yeah. But still, really.
I'm going to pause on there. I love the guide button, Brad. I'm going to tell you, I love it.
You love
and
it.
I don't know where the hell to find it. I don't know where to find it. On the Roku. Do I press down? Do I press left? Do I press up? Do I press right? It's always different.
We'll get into it. Yeah. Below that, here's some really truly ones, astonishing ones that I can't, I'll ask you guys for your perspective on what this means. There's a button that says day and then a plus and a minus. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's time travel, Brad. That is how you time travel. I told you, it's the magic remote. Somebody invented it. Okay, for our users. For our users, we all went to film school together, just to let you know. And I had an idea for one of our projects to make what I thought would make us $1 million. We get a famous comedian in it and we call it the magic remote. And the concept of this was that you could pause time and do whatever you want. And the hijinks ensue, as we say. And of course, that movie was made and was called Click with, who was in it? Adam Sandler?
Christopher Walken.
And it bombed and it wasn't a great film. And I was like, I told you guys, but then it bombed and they said, I told you guys.
It didn't bomb. And by the way, that's going to be a recurring theme of this podcast is that Dave has invented every single movie that's come out in the last 30
including
years.
Including The Matrix.
Gotten credit for none of them. Okay, moving on. None of them. There's a page button. It says plus and minus. Mm-hmm. And I know what that is, but I don't know why it's on the remote.
Page. Okay.
So that's for your guide. To go up and down on the guide, right?
Leap 20 channels at a time or whatever.
Yeah. So we have time travel.
You need a dedicated button for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why can't we have one plus and minus button, or two rather? Mm-hmm.
We'll
and then it's used for other. Okay. All right.
And then you have your arrow. You have your arrow toggles up, down, left, right, with a select / okay in the middle,
which could double as a plus minus. Yeah.
Absolutely, 1,000%.
Or 90% of this can be done with like a wheel or a ball.
Are you telling me there's not a diagonal button, Brad?
No, there's not.
I'm feeling a little let down. I don't think this is as bad as you're making it out to be.
Below that, we have settings. There's a dedicated button for settings. Now, keep in mind, above this,
we already have a menu
guide
button
and menu and info. We have a separate button for settings.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to keep going because we have a lot to get through. And then next to that, we have four color-coded buttons labeled A, B, C, and D.
I know what that's for. That's the Konami code, right? You do the up, down,
left, right, A, left, right, A, B, B, left. A, start.
Yeah, that's what that's for. You couldn't do it without those.
You're right.
A, B, B, A. You don't need the CD. I don't know what the CD is for. Oh, that's to play CDs in case.
A, B, C, and D. Each dedicated buttons no clue what these could possibly mean, to be honest with you.
This is great.
I remember those. I was waiting for you to get to those.
There's right. No other letters.
No, A, B, C, D.
They're D. That's it. Okay.
And then you have volume, and then you have channel. Then you have your on-demand button. Again, I know what this does and what it means. Why it needs to be a dedicated button, I'm not sure. Mute.
Because you want favorite, it. You want and it. Last. You want it now.
Right.
That's, then we have... I'm going to stop you.
Please.
I'm going to stop you. On-demand is brilliant branding. Like, you would want, out of all the buttons, you'd want on-demand to be a button, I'm going to argue.
I agree. Well, maybe. It's certainly...
You don't agree. You don't agree. I'm playing devil's advocate. You can't be... You can't agree with the devil.
Well, when we get into the Roku, well, as in a counter example, they have solutions for this that do not examples. That do not require dedicated buttons for this kind of thing. Mute,
but they do have their quick and last. We'll get to it.
Mute, favorite, and last. Mute, I understand. Favorite, I'm hazy on. Last, I guess this means go back to your previous channel. Okay. Oh.
Where your last date, either or, because there is a time travel button. So
this is fantastic, guys. I mean, this is getting worse and worse as we keep going down. There is another button called list. List. I don't know what that is, but it's
list. Wait, when you said last, I thought it was the last button. We still have more buttons.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm writing this down. I'm running it down, and I've run out of room on the page.
Oh, by the way, also we'll get to the list in a second, but. Next to that, there is one of those, like, you know, sort of go back previous arrow buttons.
Oh, yeah. The little, you know what I mean? Little circular.
Little
return.
Counterclockwise.
Return. So, but why do you have last and that?
Exactly. So there's a last and that, which is crazy.
Okay.
There's this button called nuts. List, which is a mystery button. I have no idea what this means. Again, we have guide.
Yeah.
We have menu. We have info. And then we have list. What the
list
F
is easy.
Going on? What is it?
List. That's it. That's if you know. I mean, I don't know if you have it, but you all have those people in your life that you know you got to take care of.
Take care of.
That's the list. Take care of. Jersey Drive. Mm-hmm. Joe, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? Uncle Joe. Joe has produced a few lists for me.
You're talking about Pine Barrens, you know, taking some people out.
We are. Hey. Now you're getting too specific, Brad. This is, can't
talk about it.
Got to talk in code. Okay. All right, so favorite,
gonna,
last,
yeah,
list,
yeah. I'm
going
to get through this like really quick because there's too much
there's
to
more.
Talk about.
There's not more.
Okay, for context, we are halfway down the remote at this point.
Oh, my God. Come on. All right, I'm going to shut up. You just rattle them off.
Okay, then there's a button live. Okay, presumably that takes you to live cable. Then you have a play button.
Again, with the time machine.
Rewind. Stop, pause, and record. Then you have your numbers. And then now we're getting to the bottom of the remote. Then you have it's labeled.
All the numbers?
Well, 1 through 9 with a 0, pound, and asterisk.
Okay, because we only have A, B, C, D, so I didn't know.
I guess I needed to quantify that for you.
Okay,
then below that,
picture in picture,
right? And then there's a whole row of dedicated buttons for picture in picture, which is astonishing.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't think anybody uses picture in picture.
What are these buttons?
Buttons are on, off, swap, move, and then channel up and down again. So we have two channel up and down buttons. And then finally,
so clearly the arrows and the diagonal arrows that don't exist, which would be great.
Right.
They decided not to use those for anything else, but we got to have the dedicated pip
Insane.
Swap and move. Wait, Insane. On, off, swap, move. What else? Was that it?
And then finally, there's two last buttons. There's one for video source. Keep in mind, at the very top, we have all these buttons for all of your sources. Mm. Then you have a light
button.
Did you
say VO source or
video?
It says
video source.
It says light, LIGHT.
Yes, and then finally, there's a light button. Yeah, so presumably that's for screen brightness. No clue.
Wait, it says light or it is a light?
You know what? Now that I'm seeing it, it's probably to turn on the backlight for the remote. That's probably what
the backlight, the function is.
Yeah, but I'm saying, does it say the word light?
Oh, well, on the button itself, there's a little sun icon. Mm. And then above it, on the plastic, it's written the word light. So that alone is interesting.
Here's the question, though.
All right.
If you need to turn on the backlight to see your remote, how do you know where the light button is if you're in the dark?
Ooh, look at that, Brad. I don't know, hit on demand?
Or any button, literally any button could turn any on the back button.
Or like any button would turn.
Yeah. Wow.
So, which brings me to my only problem. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that was
so
quite,
let's see
what,
let's get
lot,
to the point of this.
Yeah, Dave, I'm going to direct this to you first. You were a designer. You were interested in these things. Why was this built this way in the first place? And can you give us your perspective on what might have gone wrong here?
I'm guessing, Brett. So here's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing as the cable company is stuck in the past, as it always has been. I mean, I worked at a consulting firm once, and I remember an off-site kind of speech. Somebody who deals with the cable industry was talking about how the big thing at the time, and we're talking 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago even, I don't even remember, was the a la carte, right? And how the cable industry was not going to go a la carte. They're not going to do it. They're just planting their feet in the ground. They're not budging. And that, of course, now looking back, makes me laugh, because that's exactly why we are where we are today.
Right.
Because everything's a la carte, right? It's so like, how are they still stuck in the past after missing the a la carte cart? Right. It's like audio with the, you know, the, what are they called? The MP3s, you know, it's like, everybody's like, we're not going to do it. Now here we are. Anyway,
You still use MP3s?
I think the reason that they did it is because the technology didn't exist to do all this on your screen. So it's like, you got to have every button needs to be dedicated for this. Now, of course, today we have the ability to click around and have, you know, user interfaces on our screen.
Right.
So really, you just need arrows, I would think. I mean, arguably, you could have just arrows.
I think that's really interesting, Dave, because like the cable companies were the first to have on-screen sort of navigation and UX and UI, within their products, right? Like, I mean, they are the OG originators of that concept of having on-screen interfaces.
But they just did a terrible job
at it.
The remote or the on-screen interfaces? I don't know. I don't know the answer to this.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's stuck, right?
But they never evolved it.
Exactly. And it's crazy. And when you buy those all-in-one remotes to replace that remote that your mother-in-law, stepmother?
My mother-in-law.
Who's this? Your mother-in-law will ultimately lose or break. You know, the dog will chew on. It will go away. And then you've got to find one that replaces all those goddamn buttons. And there is that one button that you don't know what it does. But eventually you fall in love with, or you need it for the thing that you do, right? The list button suddenly becomes your favorite button, your needed button, and she's not going to have that. And she's going to need one of these all-in-one remotes that don't work. And by the way, speaking of user experience on remotes, have you guys ever had the pleasure of syncing a universal remote with all of your products? It is a treat. That every man, woman, and child should experience.
Well,
you have to aim it at the screen or the thing, the sound bar, whatever, and you need to like hope that it connects somehow, right? I don't know, Bluetooth or infrared or magic remote. I don't know how it does it. Yep. And it never does. It absolutely never does.
No.
So you've got to enter in a 4-digit code.
Right.
Let the lights blip, come back. That's not it. Enter another 4, and there's a whole list of codes.
Yeah. I tried to do this for my mother-in-law a couple of days ago, and you know the problem is it doesn't work. You know, it'd be one thing if these big, you know, disastrous remotes were able to function as true universal remotes, but the fact is that they don't work. So I tried to do this process.
Wait, Brad. Was this the remote they sent? This is the remote they sent. This wasn't a universal. Okay. I was getting
confused.
All right.
I mean, they try to have it be a universal remote, but it is not. Yeah. It's not able to function that way, which is another fail. So I tried to pair it with two TVs, to two different TVs, right? Two major brand televisions. One was a Vizio and one was a TCL Roku TV. Yeah. You know, not the fanciest TVs out there, but you know, certainly like major brands that, you know, I don't know, thousands, millions of people have in their homes. The Spectrum remote was not able to pair with either of these.
Hold on. Brad, so are you telling me that this remote is also a universal remote? Like it connects to televisions and soundbars and shit?
No,
so
I'm
they're
not.
In on,
I am telling you that they are positioning it to be that, and it does not function in fact like that.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. So they're telling you when you get this remote, it's not just for your cable box. Mm-hmm. It's not just for your cable experience. They're saying, hey, you can also use this to pair with your television or with your soundbar or with, you know, your
Roku. That's what the ABCD buttons are for, aren't they?
Oh, by the way,
I'm kidding.
No, I can't believe that I didn't like talk about this a second ago. At the top row, you know, they wanted to be a universal remote for these things. AUX, whatever that is.
Yeah,
DVD,
AUX.
TV, cable, and here's the kicker, right in the middle of this row, VCR.
No.
Fantastic.
I glossed over that.
VCR on this remote.
Hats off to them.
Also, why does the cable remote have to select cable as an input if it is...
Indeed. This is one of the most poorly designed things I have ever experienced in my life. That a dedicated team of designers was put on this project, and this is their output, is shocking.
Hey, Brad, I'd like to say that there is a roof over a small child's head that you are just tearing down. You are... Well, I can't talk about tornadoes now, but...
That's our job.
What I'm saying is that child deserves
that is
our
that is our job
because of you know their parents poor design chops. Is that too much?
Oh,
too far?
Oh my god! Yeah, no. I mean,
we
I don't think
leave
we should
child,
starve to death.
We should leave these children behind. That's how egregious this is. Okay, we might cut that out.
All right. Yeah, no. That's staying in.
So, guys, I have when I'm talking and thinking about UX within my own life, you know, I think about the products that I interact with every day, and I make decisions based on like how much I'm using a product. Television is a big one, so I think about this a lot.
Absolutely.
And I have a cardinal rule when it comes to buying and setting up a television is that it must be controlled with one remote, and it must do everything. I must have full control and
the magic remote
and preferably that remote doesn't have a million gajillion buttons on it. What do you guys use when you're watching television? What is your remote situation and what products are you using?
I'll tell you what I want to use and what I don't use. This could be a whole second episode on remotes is I want to use my cell phone. I really, really do. I think it's a great idea because I'm like, we all have remotes in our pockets already. We don't need remotes. Yeah. But
I disagree.
There's something about the experience.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you.
I hate using my phone as a remote. I don't know why. No,
I do too. That's what I'm getting to. I want to, though. I really want to enjoy that experience. I don't know what it is that I don't, right? Mm-hmm. Because it works perfectly fine. I could talk into it. I don't have to type out, you know, on that on-screen keyboard, you know, that I'm looking for Sex in the City season 2. Episode 3. I don't want to type that out. I want to just
admit to it.
That was a very theoretical. I don't know where that came from. I want to just say those words, right? So remotes should absolutely, because the Roku remotes now have voice, or they have for a while, but that's a key for me. There's got to be a voice button. There's got to be a button you can, you know,
Apple TV's remotes have that too.
Joe, so you got to have that
primarily. Well, I have not tried the universal remote thing. I have 3 remotes.
Oh boy, that's a problem.
Well, I don't care because I don't want to try to set up one thing. But I have basically my Roku does everything. You hit the power button, it turns on the receiver, it turns on the Roku box, the receiver, and the TV. And then I basically control everything through that.
Wait. Mine doesn't do that. How did you set that up?
It's through.
It just does it. I don't know. It's
newer television.
To answer Brad's question.
Okay. I have a separate remote for my receiver because I want to be able to select inputs, you know, my PlayStation. I do have a phonograph and some other equipment that, you know.
Are you talking about AUX? AUX.
Yeah, AUXes. I have some AUXes and the volume on that. And then I still have my TV remote just basically to turn the TV off because for some reason the Roku remote will turn it on but won't turn it off. Although I think the new ones do, and here's my sucks for Roku remotes because they're pretty much great otherwise, is I've had this one for 7 years. I don't think I've changed the batteries.
That's true. Tell what it is. What one? You can't show it. It's the audio.
Well, Roku, I don't know. Because my old Roku, like the one that's like 7 years old, is in the bedroom. I bought one that's like 3 or 4 years old that's in my living room now. That one came with a remote, broke. I bought a new one about 6 months ago. I've already replaced it.
So you're talking about Roku. You're talking about Roku remote. Yeah. It's, I agree with you. I haven't changed mine. I never thought about that, Joe. What do they do? How do they do that?
But that's my problem is the new one, the one that I bought to replace the one that broke, I've replaced the batteries like 2 or 3 times, and I don't see any difference in these except for this one has a volume remote, which
the volume remote.
And the power off button, that would almost eliminate the other two remotes completely.
Does it have a voice? Does it have the voice?
The new one does, but yeah, again, probably, batteries die every 2 weeks on this. They should make this a USB charging thing, but I don't even use the voice thing. The volume thing might be the reason that does it, but they should make a USB charge for the remote. Yeah. Maybe they do. I haven't looked it up yet.
So Brad, to answer your question, because I didn't, I do use a universal remote that we bought at like Target, and it works, I guess, okay, except it does not connect to my soundbar. So I have to get up, physically get up and turn the volume up and down, and I hate my life.
You guys are both living in the Stone Ages, as far as I'm concerned. Shocking information to hear that, you know, Joe has three or four remotes. You have to get up to turn on a soundbar.
Well, yeah. I have a smart TV. I guess if I really, really wanted to sit down and go through it, I could move all of my apps off my Roku box, put them on my TV, get rid of that box, and then. But I still have my receiver. Like, again, you know, you have a separate phonograph player and you have a separate PlayStation thing. Those all go through one. So I have my remote for that because I have all those different devices that go through a receiver. So, I don't know how to get rid of that.
Isn't everything you plug into your box an aux? Like, why do we separate? Aux is just miscellaneous shit that's not the other things that we have buttons for. Just call it all aux.
Tape deck.
Don't call it aux because nobody knows that it means auxiliary. Like, everybody's like, aux. I don't know. It's like, what is it?
I think most people know it means auxiliary.
What is the other thing on there that we don't know what it is? It's, tell me. No. When you're clicking through HDMI, no, it's
input.
No, there's something HDMI. I'm going to go turn on my TV now.
Well, when I said that I make decisions based on this stuff, that does mean, like, you know, I will buy a sound system, you know, and one of the big deciding factors is, will it integrate with my television? You know, does it have CEC? Right. And I forget what that stands for, but can my television control the sound bar? You know, and vice versa. And you know, that technology has existed in televisions for, you know, maybe the past 10 years or so. So most modern televisions should have that capability. Now, Joe, in your situation, if you're using like a vintage receiver, you know, there's great reasons to, you know, elect to use a vintage receiver situation that won't, you know, integrate naturally with the television. So that's fine. But, you know, I'm going to.
It's not vintage.
Right,
it's 5 years old. It has 4K pass through it. You know, it has Dolby Atmos surround. I mean, it does all the things. If I had the money, I would have a Macintosh dedicated for my record player. But this just does everything. But you know.
Guys, I'm back from Auxland.
And
what I was talking about is my TV has an input button, right? So you hit input TV and then input to get to whatever you're going to. And I guess it's an old TV. I got it Black Friday, you know, like, you know, the first one. And
the first one.
It has HDMI 1 and 2, but then it has what my son and I have lovingly called Y Preview. And I had no idea what that was because you guys are like, Y Preview. It's Y P lowercase B P lowercase R 1 and 2. And I think those are the multicolored cables in the back.
Yes, the RCA inputs.
Yeah, I don't know what I think it's yellow, black and white. I don't know. I don't know what that means, but that's my point.
It's RGB plus yellow's audio. RGB is
exactly nothing.
It's not the RCAs. It's the other one. I can't remember now because I haven't used them in forever.
I think this hits the whole point of this conversation, is that Y Preview 1 and 2, aux, all these terms harken back to the days where we were more hands-on, right? We changed our oil, right? We could fix our cars. We knew what the things did, right? They didn't have all these onboard computers.
Old man rant coming.
This isn't a rant. I hate those days. But we turned the TV around. It was a big tube TV. You'd plug all the damn things in. You'd grumble about it because they never stay in, right? And then you know, the cat or the dog knocks them out, or the kids. And then you plug them into your radio player and your tape deck and all this shit. And there's all these wires, but you knew what everything was. You would know what Uncle Joe just said. Oh, I know exactly what the Y, the P, the B, the B. Nobody knows what it means anymore, though, but it's still there. And the cable companies are probably run by a bunch of old ranting men who are like, no, we need all these buttons. What are our customers going to do if they don't know how to find the list? Through the up and down arrow or the plus minus or the ABC 123. And that's what I got. Why preview?
Aux. So, yeah. So the answer, Dave, is why, you know, to why these are so terrible experiences is that mm-hmm. you know, they're run by old
stuck
white
in
men.
The past. Yeah.
They don't have to be white in this scenario, but we know
they're
not.
They're just old.
And I mean, hey, to do with it,
in Lethal
I guess,
Weapon,
but we know
in,
that they
in
are.
In Lethal Weapon, there were two old men. You know, he's too old for this shit.
Yeah.
That's the guy. All those guys. All those old boomers. Sorry,
I guess that's a great way to
show.
Yeah. I guess that's probably a great way to put a bow on this segment is that, you know, these cable companies.
Right? Why preby?
Too old for this shit.
Too old for this. Oh, what's that sound, Brad? Joe? I think it's time for Unicorns and Rainbows. Yeah, this is our magical product, our favorite app or website. Joe, what do you got?
I would say that two-step authentication for the win. I woke up the other day. I had a text message that said, here's the code you requested for your PayPal. And I was like, I was asleep. I did not request access to my PayPal. So, you know, locked somebody out.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
Especially after I had just gotten an email like, oh, somebody logged into your Instagram from Ukraine. I'm like, oh, that's good.
So wow.
Just delete that account.
So you both have been hacked this week. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, hack. This is great.
Well, you know, the good thing was they hacked an account I don't use. So I just deleted that account. And
yeah,
I was fine. But I didn't get hacked. My point is the two-step authentication works.
Stopped it. Yeah. That's great. That's great. That is good to hear. I'm a big fan of the two-step authentication. I love it. I'm a bigger fan, and this is a whole other topic we could talk about another time. And Joe, we talked about this on text, is the
biometric.
Biometric. I hated it, but now I love it because it's so simple. But we'll put a pin in that for now. Brad,
say that for another week because there's a lot to talk about that.
Yeah, Brad, what do you got?
This week, my team had its holiday party. We had about 22 people or so meeting in downtown Los Angeles, and there was drinking
fun
involved.
Times.
So my moment of good user experience is actually a company that I'm not a big fan of in general, Uber. However, I'm not a big fan in general, but they really came through with Uber vouchers that I could provide to my team. So
tell us about Uber vouchers, Brad.
Well, for sure. You know, people are drinking on the company dime. Liability is certainly a concern. And also just making sure that people are safe and making smart decisions. Very much a concern. Right. So we mandated that, you know, anyone who is, you know, consuming alcohol had to use public transportation. And we provided Uber vouchers, you know, up to $200 worth of Uber credit for the team to use to get to and from the holiday party. So it was really, really simple to do. It took about 5 minutes to, you know, procure these for, you know, 20, 30 people. And then, you know, I emailed these codes, you know, to each of the people. And then I was one of them myself. You know, I clicked in from my mobile device and like one tap, one click, and then the credit was just there on my Uber account.
Oh, fantastic.
So it works.
Oh, that's
like
great. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
That's not always the case. I mean, you know, some of these apps where you get like a gift card, you've got to go into the settings, you got to find it. And then it's confusing. Is it a payment? Is it a gift card? There's not a gift card thing. So So you just said it was one click. It popped up in like a splash window, like, or how did it appear?
Yeah, from my mobile device, I tapped on the code from an email link that opened up my Uber app, and there the credit was just automatically added. I did not have to take any other action. It was just in my in my Uber account. And here's even something cooler. To save on cost, I could, like, you know, kind of gate the windows of time that people could use it, because it's not just open-ended.
Okay.
And we could have done that if we wanted. Okay. Like, I wanted people to be able to use this only on one specific day for one specific purpose.
Right.
And
they didn't use the whole $200. So then did you get a refund, or how did that?
Well, it's not even a refund. We only get charged what we used.
For what you use.
So
So
good job.
So I had up to $200. Right. I ended up using $70, you know, total. Mm-hmm. So the rest of the company just didn't pay for.
How is Uber's advertising on this? I feel like this is a big, like if I were working at Uber and if they're already doing this, they can just laugh at me for having an idea that everyone's already had. But this would be a big time of the year that I would advertise these services and this voucher service that, hey, you're having a holiday party? Use Uber voucher. Like, are they doing that? Like, I mean, I don't know where to find commercials anymore, but
I know.
Are you seeing any of that? Like when you open the app, do you see it? Because I don't use Uber terribly much. No. Okay.
I've never seen any advertisement whatsoever for this. I knew about it from a previous company. Yeah, I knew this about this from a previous company.
You had to hunt for it.
These vouchers. Okay. I mean, I didn't have to hunt hard. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a simple.
Yeah, they're leaving money on the table there. They're leaving money on the table for the past 100 years, however long they've been doing this. All right, I'm going to move on to mine. If you guys are we okay? Mine is I'm going to go ahead and talk about, and I don't even know if this is a thing anymore. I hope it is because it's one of my favorite things that ever existed on my phone is instant apps. Have you guys heard about these? Mm-hmm. Instant apps. Okay.
What's the use case for how
nobody,
you
no
use
takers?
An instant app?
Okay.
I know what it is, right. But what so, was your good experience?
Yeah. Okay. Old man rant coming again. The thing I've always hated about my phone is that you have to have a million apps, right? I've for so many years, I had like 4 apps. I'm like, screw this whole app thing. I'm not doing it. I use the web. Like on my phone now has a screen. I could turn it sideways if I need it to be bigger. I just use the damn website. I'm not getting your app. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I gave in, like with all things I complain about, you know, like parking in LA. Right, Joe?
Yes.
How many times did we hop the parking attendant? This drive through a gate. Anyway, yeah, so I gave in. And now, like I was afraid of and what I complained about is I have a zillion apps. Just yesterday, I was parking my car. My son had a performance at his school. There's a parking meter. It's like, hey, pay here with this app. And then I went and I parked somewhere else at another one of his performance, yet another app. So now I have these random ass apps on my phone, not to mention all these local venues that have events. And you'd be like, oh, have this Be Here app or whatever. I don't know what it's called. So you got all these apps and then you got to do an app purge. Anyway, instant apps solve all that. And basically they have the architecture for like, you know, a general use app and then different websites connect to it. Mm-hmm. And then I don't even know this is how it works. This is how it works in my mind. But yeah. So we are not experts. We are lovers. So
I mean, we're not lovers together, the three of us.
Instant app. You go on it. I don't even know if you have it. I don't even know if I ever installed it. I think I did. And what happens is one of them was Zillow. I think Zillow, I don't know if they still do it. So I go to Zillow.com, right? And then it would turn into an app somehow, right? Like it would just have, it would be like, it'd say instant app. And then that would be it. So I'd have one app to control them all. You know, it's like, Joe, it's like we talked about Trillion for the chat services last episode. Yep. It's like the trillion of apps.
Yeah.
And I love this idea and I want to see more of it. I don't want to have to repeat because there's got to be software in there that's repeated across all the apps, right? There's got to be a general
architecture
that's being repeated. And the instant app removes the need for me to have 50 megabytes here, 500 megabytes there.
So we can't have a universal remote, but somehow we can have a universal app that covers all the user experiences and all the different websites.
Well, I think it's flipped, Joe. I think, yeah, why do we have the universal remote, but we don't have the universal app? We need the universal app. And whoever made Instant App, thank you. I don't know if you still exist. I'm going to Google it now. See if it's still on my phone.
Well, and you're right. And I mean, this is also something we could save for another time. But I think the reason that there's a million apps, why, you know, there's a, you know, a Pizza Hut app and a Domino's app and a Park Here app and because everybody wants your information. I mean, we know why there's all these different apps. It's you know.
By the way, guys, it's by Google. Google Play Instant Android Developers is the first thing that came up. So I think it's a Google thing.
Yeah, and you
I'm sure that'll
Dave,
work
you
great.
Didn't have to install anything. That's just native to the Android experience.
No, again being an early adopter.
Yeah.
I did install something. This was years ago that I first used it. And I haven't seen it, or I turned something on. Something popped up, and I said yes. I bought right into it. And you're right. Now it may be a feature that the developers decided just to include. But I think more apps should do it. I don't know, you know, what goes on at companies when they decide, you know, whether to do this or not. Like, there's probably some controls that they have to give up. Mm-hmm. You know, so I get that wanting to have full control, but. Yeah, so that's my, I love that. It doesn't exist anymore. I got another one, but I'm not going to do it this week. I'll save it for next week. And Brad, I think we share this one. I'm not, I'll text you what it is.
All right. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we did it.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. That's all I got.
That's the episode.
Users, we love you. Come back for more.
And thanks for listening to Sucks. Wishing you health and a well-designed life. Thank you.
they're not the same, right?